Greetings, friends. Mark Anthony K here. So this week, Kevin is going to be away on vacation with his family. So we decided this week, rather than to leave a week with nothing for you to listen to, that we would put an old episode up for you. Now, the reason why I'm here talking is because Kevin had decided to let me pick the episode for you guys to listen to. Now, of course, we have so many episodes now over the last, 7 or 8 years that it is now that we've been broadcasting. You know, it could have picked any one of several interviews or album reviews or any kind of special segments that we did over the last couple of years. But I decided to pick episode 222, which was our discussion. Actually, I think it might have been actually one of the very first discussions that I did with Kevin, as opposed to before when I would just send in reviews of my records at this point and he would read them on air. And then later I would send in audio reviews of my album reviews. I believe this is one of the very first times that me and Kevin actually sat down and did a discussion on a topic for the podcast. So this is episode 222. So on this episode, Kevin and I discussed the tour that was currently happening, which was Yes, doing the album tours, and they were doing Drama and Tales from Topographic Oceans. Now, it's funny, this episode came out April 22nd, 2016, and a couple of interesting things is that we were discussing whether we thought this was a good idea at the time. Of course, Yes had already done a couple of tours with the full album concept, where they did Close to the Edge, Fragile, and the Yes album. So I think that we were excited at this point about the prospects of hearing Drama in full and hearing Tales. Another interesting point when I was listening back to this episode was Kevin asked me about Yes doing Time in a Word live, and I had mentioned that I had not been very familiar with the record as far as listening to it on a constant basis, which is very interesting because at this point now Time in a Word is one of my favorite Yes albums. Wouldn't say it's my favorite, but you know, it has definitely grown over the years. So it's interesting to hear how much things have changed since 2016 for myself personally. So I hope you guys are all safe and happy and doing well out there. We will most likely be back next week with another episode. But until then, sit back and listen to one from the archives of the Yes Music Podcast. This is episode 222, discussing the album tours. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing?
Yes Music Podcast, episode 222. Should Yes play whole albums live?
Hi, this is Billy Sherwood of Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Podcast.
This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Hi, this is Jeff Downes, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Hi, this is Steve Howe, and you're listening to me on the Yes Music Podcast. Have a good time. Listen. Bye.
Hi, this is John Anderson. You're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 222 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week you may have noticed that the Yes Music Podcast Facebook page has finally gone live. If you use Facebook, then you can go and find it, facebook.com/yesmusicpodcast, and like it so that you can see the things that I post there. There are already quite a few likes, so why not join in? Actually, on the page this week, you'll see that Preston Frazier has reached And You and I in his epic Yes review series. There's also the first shot from Scotland from Billy Sherwood, and I really am hoping for quite a few more from those rehearsals. Let's hope we get some of those. There's a Union Tour video, and there's a Trevor Rabin video, which caught my attention because it's got that amazing painted Stratocaster on the front of it. There's a Ben Craven video from his album launch. You can see all of those on Ben's Facebook profile. And then you can buy the official bootleg of the launch concert when that comes out. Also on the page is Miguel Falcao's Chris Squire 8-string bass, which he calls a sort of tutorial. Go and have a look at that. There are also all sorts of other goodies as well. On Twitter this week, at Not Right Away, sent an article on bands who have gone through more than three frontmen, which describes John Davison and Heaven and Earth as credible. Certainly John Davison is nothing but credible. Heaven and Earth, that's up to you. Several folk got their tickets for Yes concerts in the UK, like Tim Stannard, who's a bit upset about Moon Safari not supporting Yes at Brighton, and says he should have gone to London. It's not clear what the problems have been with Moon Safari cancelling all their supporting concerts for Yes around the UK, but at least they are playing in London if you're going there. Will they be sharing the stage with Trevor Horn? Who knows? And finally, at Not Right Away, also on Twitter, found an article which compares Stairway to Heaven to that Taurus number. They're currently in court wrangling about that, aren't they? It's fascinating if you like that kind of thing.
I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says. I've heard all Yes Music podcasts every week. I love to hear what Kevin says.
So this week I've had a chat with Mark Anthony Kay about Yes's current obsession with playing whole albums. Is it a good thing? Well, have listened to our conversation, and then you add your own thoughts on the blog. Okay, so I'm back talking to Mark Anthony Kay, all about Yes and their current obsession with playing whole albums. So, hello, Mark.
How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing really well, thank you. So, if we think about Yes and their playing of whole albums, of course, they were early pioneers of this, weren't they? Because they played all four sides of Tales from Topographic Oceans just after the thing was released.
Yeah, that's actually, when you think about it, like you said, I don't think any band was doing that at that time or even before that. Definitely nobody was doing that beforehand. And it was given with quite a mixed result at first. I mean, I know that they thought it was a great idea to do it, but I think that the audiences at first were kind of taken aback by it because, you know, they were expecting to hear maybe Close to the Edge or Roundabout and familiar songs that they grew to love. And yeah, to have four long songs and then maybe an encore of one other classic song, I don't think that many fans expected that.
Yeah, maybe that's behind the current idea to just play sides one and four.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they are definitely the stronger of the sides. I mean, I'm sure people already know that from my review last week.
That's right.
Or the week before, about how I mentioned that I thought that would have been probably one of the best records they would have ever made if they would have just maybe stuck it with just those two sides.
So what do you think then? They've done the Yes album, Fragile, Going for the One, Close to the Edge, and now Drama's coming up, full albums. Do you like this fad of doing full albums?
Yeah, I do, because what I tend to notice is that when I go to see other bands live, usually people leave the concert saying, oh, it was a great show, but I wish they would have played this, or I wish they would have played that. And by doing full albums, I mean, you get everything, the hits off it, the deep cuts. So really, you're getting the best of both worlds in that way. So I think playing full albums is kind of a good thing. And plus, you know what you're going to be hearing in one sense by that. So you could almost prepare for it.
Yeah. Well, certainly I loved the Yes album. And of course, you had things like Adventure being played for the, you know, pretty much the first time. That was great to hear that. I really enjoyed that. And Going for the One, that whole album, I think that works really well as well. And Close to the Edge, obviously. I mean, those songs make total sense, don't they, when you play the whole thing all the way through?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that's a record where, you know, it just makes sense to listen to top to bottom. I mean, I'm not a person anyways that skips songs. So to me, that's just the only way to listen to Close to the Edge, or any Yes album is just from beginning to end.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no way, though, was there, that albums like Fragile, and I'm going to talk a minute about Fragile, I think, there's no way that album was created with the idea of playing the whole thing live, was there?
No, certainly not. I mean, I always kind of looked at Fragile as a way to sort of put a light on the members of the band individually, in a sense, because in one way, the four songs, like, you know, Heart of the Sunrise, Roundabout, they've kind of focused and shown how good they are as writers together as a group. Yeah. And then the other songs were kind of almost made, I think, to kind of show what the strength of the members are and what they sort of bring to Yes, I found, by showing those pieces.
Mm. And it was fascinating to hear the new remixes by Stephen Wilson. And for the first time, I thought something like Cans and Brahms really did make some sense. Now, have you heard Fragile live?
Yes, I have the DVD. I haven't seen them, obviously, live, but I have the DVD when they played the whole album.
Yeah. And I'm just questioning in my own mind. I've seen the same as you have, and I'm just about next month to go and see the thing live for the first time myself in person. And I'm really questioning. I'd be very interested to see what it is actually like. But things like Cans and Brahms 5% for nothing, those sorts of ones. I'm not sure if it's really worth playing them live because they are so quick. They're not necessarily very tidy in the performances I've heard of them. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to come across as a Jeff Downes basher, because I do like him. I mean, I think he's a great player. He's a different sort of keyboard player for Yes than what I was sort of used to. But I find, for example, when they do Cans and Brams with him, that if you really watch, he's playing a lot of it, but he's also sampling a lot of it as well. Because, I mean, if you watch on his little IMAX there, he has a lot of stuff running in the background, which obviously he can't do. He doesn't have eight arms, right?
So he can't do
all of it. But I mean, what I kind of get from that is that while they do that and they do like 5% for nothing, there's also a bit of sampling going on there. Same with We Have Heaven. And it's just those pieces are great. And to me, they sound fine. But I always prefer the pieces that they do where they don't have to rely so much on the technology to make it sound full to do it.
Yes, yes, absolutely right. I mean, and of course, Cans and Brahms is a keyboard reduction in many parts of a complete symphony orchestra. So there's, as you say, there's no way of actually playing it one person live. And if Rick Wakeman were to do it, I'm sure he would not agree to do it. But if he were to do it, he would have to do the same sorts of things. But I'm still unconvinced. I will report back from when I go very soon to hear it actually live in person. I'll report back. But I think it's taking the concept, for me, a bit far. Certainly that's my current feeling, doing the whole of Fragile in a very different way to those other records. But what about Drama? That, for me, I think lends itself pretty much perfectly to a live setting, perhaps only save Man in a White Car.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually very excited about that. I mean, I've been sitting here in Canada keeping my fingers crossed that maybe they'll come over my way and they'll do Drama over here, right? Because I really, really, really love that album. I mean, I'm sure you must have seen on my page a couple times I've posted, I've bought quite a few different variations of that album already on vinyl. And I really love it. I mean, it's funny how that record kind of got slagged back in the day, but now has become such a favorite amongst Yes fans. And I can count myself as one of those people that really, really enjoy it. I mean, I have no issues with anything, the singing, the playing. I think all of it is good and has so many great, strong songs, like Machine Messiah is such a great song live. And I mean, what, there's nothing on there that I can suspect that would come across weak. I mean, even Man in a White Car back in the 80s when they did the tour, I mean, Jeff Downes did it live when they did it in the shows. So I don't think that there's anything really unexpected that we'll get from that.
No, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see whether he puts in his little bits of Buggles in the middle as he used to in 1980. I think possibly he won't. But that does bring us on to another question, of course, isn't it? And this is the rumour, nothing confirmed as far as I know, that Trevor Horn will be standing up on stage with Yes. So, good idea or not?
I'm always sort of 50-50 on these sort of things, mainly for one reason. I mean, Yes has been focusing so hard and working so hard to make themselves look as a viable and strong unit again, and not one of these bands where people keep saying, oh, it's just a cover band now and this and that. And people are now, I'm finding that people now are starting to finally accept them in this line of configuration and are starting to talk very positively about it. So to bring up someone like Trevor Horn now, I understand the connection to it, but to bring him up might just, you know, start unnecessary rumors of, oh, maybe they should bring him back, get rid of John and bring Trevor back full time. You know what I mean? I think it'll just bring up unnecessary drama, ironically. To where it doesn't need to be, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously there's a big connection between Trevor Horn very recently with the band producing Fly From Here, and I know he's a great friend of the band, and I can believe that he will pop up on stage there. But what to do? I mean, to sing, I mean, that's fair enough, of course. He sang on the original, but, you know, reportedly he absolutely hated doing the thing live, and actually, even on the record, but especially on those live recordings that we've got of him singing, his voice doesn't really stand up to the rigors of that music, does it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely better as a studio singer than he is a live singer. I mean, just from all the bootleg shows I've seen of them, or heard of them, sorry, with him in the singer position, I think that he's definitely better cut out for that in production work. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's done lots of projects where he's been very strong, and he can play bass and he can do, you know, other things, I'm sure, right? So, I mean, it is ironic that in the one song, I lost the name now about what song it is on Drama, where he played bass and Chris Squire played, I think he played keyboard or something, or piano on one of the songs. But it's funny that, you know, he could play bass too. So, you know, I'm not saying that he should go up and play bass, but, you know, there's always that option too, because he's played bass in other band situations as well, right? Yeah, so sure. maybe double bass or something, you know?
Yeah, that's right. It's Run Through the Light. I made sure I looked it up.
Yeah.
he plays fretless bass on it. And it's got that very, very particular sound. And before I realised, before I'd looked at the album properly, way back when I first got it, I assumed that was Chris Squire playing fretless bass. And of course, it's not. And from the trivia point of view, it's interesting, isn't it? Because Trevor Horn plays fretless bass on Run Through the Light, and Billy Sherwood is the only other bassist, apart from Chris Squire, who appears on record, and he's on The More We Live, Let Go on Union. Perhaps the less said about that, the better. But it would be fascinating to see Trevor Horn standing up playing bass. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he would come on and sing perhaps one of the songs, maybe. And I wouldn't want to push John Davison out. You know, he's there, as you say, he's accepted. He should be there at the front of the band singing. But what about other people? What do you feel about other musicians coming back into Yes and playing live with them in 2016? What about John Anderson? There have been rumours always about that. And what about Patrick Mraz standing up? Can you see it happening, and do you want to see it happening?
Well, people like Patrick Mraz, or even when they brought up Trevor Rabin, I think it was a few tours back where he came up and played a song with them. Those kind of situations I don't have a problem with, mainly because you kind of know what's going to happen in that situation. They're going to come up, they're going to have a good time. They're going to say, you know, thanks, you know, thanks for letting me come up and play. And, you know, the fans will enjoy it and the band will enjoy it, and they'll just move on and go on with their separate projects. But whenever you bring up somebody like, for example, like John Anderson, if he was to come up and play with them again, I mean, there would be an absolute uproar. I mean, I think at that point, if you're going to bring him back up, then you're going to have to keep in mind that people are going to be really, really pushing for him to come back and stay at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been away from the picture so long, and like I said, people are starting to get used to the fact that he's not the singer anymore, that if you were to reintroduce that back into the picture again, I think people will really salivate for it. They'll want him back, and I think it'll put undue pressure or unneeded pressure on someone like, you know, John Davison, who's done such an excellent job. I really, really love his singing. I mean, not to rock the boat here or anything, but I'm really happy with him in the band. And to be honest, I think the band has been able to do a hell of a lot more lately because of him in the band than they would have probably with John Anderson. I mean, the guy isn't getting any younger, and he's, you know, he's had health issues even after he left Yes. So who's to say how things would have continued with Yes if he would have stayed?
Yes, that's right. I mean, of course, everybody would want to see John Anderson playing with Yes again. That's undeniable. But as you say, is it viable? And I think I've said on the podcast several times that I don't think really it is viable to bring Anderson back. If you listening have a different opinion, then let us know. But I don't think it's a long-term solution. And as has happened with Billy coming in, John Davison now really is very, very stable part. And, you know, from hearing him a couple of years ago, his voice, the way he projects, the way he is on stage, I think he's a great fit for the band. And you can see Davison and Sherwood being there long into the future.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the one band. It's interesting that you brought this up, Kevin, because this is the one band that I have firm belief that could continue long past its you know, expected date of expiry. Because, I mean, lots of bands talk about this sort of situation. And I mean, you know, Kiss, for example, is another one of this thing where there's a big rumor going around that there's going to be a Kiss 2.0 where they're going to start replacing original members and bring in other people and just continue it, because all they need to do is just wear the makeup and essentially you wouldn't really know the difference, right? But, I mean, that's been a very big sore spot with fans of that band. But in this band, for example, and yes, I mean, because they've already started to do it with somebody like John Davison, and now they have Billion, who has, you know, those two can continue for a long time still. And, you know, I'm not, I don't want to, you know, knock on wood, you know, these guys continue in their current situation for a long time still. But, you know, if they do happen to replace somebody like, who knows, like Alan White, if something happens to him, and if he gets sick or if he can't continue, they could bring in another drummer to bring to replace him. And I think they can continue still. And I can see Yes continuing. There's so many great progressive drummers out there who have been influenced and inspired by Yes, and would probably jump at the chance to be in that situation to keep a band like Yes continuing.
I think that's right. And you know, obviously, particularly with someone like Billy, it's great to bring him in because he's got such a legacy and such a history with the band anyway. But you're right, there are plenty of people who could come in. But let's go back to the albums, though. What other albums would you like to see? When I spoke to Steve Howe, he out of left field, he actually brought up the fact that that they really ought to try a re-layer at some time. And that's a whole can of worms on its own, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, when I heard that segment that you did, I was really, really excited when I heard that, because, as you know, it's my favorite Yes album. And yeah, honestly, I would love to hear it. I mean, I've heard them do, you know, the Gates of Delirium a few times on different tours, and, you know, it always turns out fantastic. Mm. And, you know, having seen, like, those the old QPR show where they did, you know, To Be Over, and they did Sound Chaser, and they always turned out really well. And I don't see why they couldn't do another great version of those now. And it's, again, it's my favorite kind of format of an album, you know, where it's just three songs, kind of like how they did Close to the Edge. And there's three excellent songs. And I think it would go over really well. I mean, pieces like Soon have always been played kind of throughout the years when John was in the band, and fans love it. So, I mean, there's a lot of high points, and I think that record would go over really well.
Yes, and the other one that he mentioned, which was fascinating, was Time and a Word, and I really wasn't expecting him to mention that, because it's such a long time ago. It's before Steve Howe himself joined the band, but, you know, I'd love to see it. How they'd put the orchestral bits in, although I know some of the tracks have been done and keyboards have added the orchestral bits, but Time and a Word for you?
It's really a record that I haven't listened to nearly as much as the other ones. I do have it on a CD when they released that CD set with all the records from the beginning to Big Generator. And I've made it a point to listen to that record quite a few times. And I really enjoy it. And the more I listen to it, the more it grows on me. So it's definitely not a terrible record by any stretch of the imagination. But I think that it could be done well. I think they could do it. I mean, I really love songs like Astral Traveler and stuff like that. Mm. I mean, I think that they could do it and do great justice to it. I think they did it really good when they had Benoit in the band.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I loved how they even inserted that little drum solo piece into it. Mm. I thought it was really well thought out.
Absolutely, yes. So it is something I'd very much like to hear. And you know, I think it's got some classic songs on there. Although, having said all this and having said about what albums we'd like and the fact that we do like hearing whole albums, on the other hand, I do also like the individual tracks that they dig up. And I think nobody knows yet, or I haven't heard any rumours yet, but on this tour, they are going to pull some rather surprising tracks out of the bag. And if I'm looking up, I'm just looking up here at my collection of Yes CDs I've got here, you know, something from Keys to Ascension, something from The Ladder, something from Open Your Eyes. You know, it could be anything. And in a way, I do love the whole albums, but in a way, I also love the concerts which pick and choose from various different albums.
Yes, I agree with that too. I mean, there's also something to be said about not knowing what you're going to hear, have that anticipation of, you know, thinking what's going to come next, right? Yeah. And I mean, because Steve Howe has become so open to trying so many different things, I think that really, really is a great sign, because, you know, there's been songs I really wish they would maybe bring back. Like one of my favorites that Yes did live, this was only when John was in the band, like John Anderson, was I loved Magnification. I really wish they would do a song like that. I mean, I think they could do it really great now with this lineup. I think it would be fantastic. Yeah. And even like a song like Homeworld, oh man, I would be so happy if they would pull that out.
Yes, you know? yes, absolutely. I'd love to hear something from the ladder and from other ones as well. I mean, with the best will in the world, I don't think that Steve would go as far as Talk or, you know, certain other things in 90125. I'm not convinced that he would play the Trevor Rabin part there willingly. But there's plenty else to go back to and sample from, and I hope they do, and I just can't wait to see what they are going to come up with in 2016. So I'm going really quite soon. I haven't decided which of my two sons I'm going to take with me. I'm going to be sitting on the front row in Birmingham, as I said before, and I absolutely can't wait to hear Fragile and Drama. Any last thoughts, though, on which order do you think they'll do it in?
I think honestly that they would probably going to do Drama first, I think, mainly because I think that they kind of always envision Fragile as the ultimate classic kind of Yes album. So kind of save that for last, right? And considering that you would probably end with Hard as a Sunrise, you know, what better sort of closer to have than that, right? Because it's such a dramatic song. But just really quickly, just before we end, the whole bit about them not doing the Trevor Rabin era stuff. Now that we have John Anderson and Rabin and Wakeman in a sort of band configuration, we need not worry about that anymore, because if they come out and play live, they can do the Talk material and those material, you know, on tour then. So we'll get the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and I really hope they do, and I hope they come to Europe as well so that I can see them. But just finally from me, I absolutely can't wait to hear Drama, particularly Drama, live. I mean, the classics on Fragile, absolutely, I'm going to love that. But I'm really, really excited about Drama, because I think it's got such power and such great progressive music on there, which is, you know, surprising looking back now at the genesis of that album, how it came about and who plays on it. I think it's got some real classics on there now. As you were saying earlier, looking back, we can appreciate it really properly now. And to hear it live with Billy, you know, putting all into that and some great vocals from John Davison and the whole of the rest of the band, you know, the fact that the other three were there on the album, just, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that record shows a side of Steve Howe that was not shown before. It's very powerful. There's a little bit more distortion to his sound. It's more powerful, a little more angst to it. And I just really love that record.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be brilliant live. And thank you very much indeed for our conversation today.
Great. Thanks, Kevin. Anytime.
So that's just about all the time I have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. I'll be back next week, I do hope. And in the meantime, please do get involved with the podcast yourself by subscribing via your podcatcher or web service of choice at yesmusicpodcast.com. You can also now like the Facebook page, it's the first time I've ever said that, at facebook.com/yesmusicpodcast. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.